This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري وَأَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي أَمَّا بَعْدُ. My dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His help, and we ask for His forgiveness. We send our salutations upon the beloved Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family and his friends. We should all praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us all to be here in this beautiful masjid. We have just performed the Salatul Isha in Jama'ah. This is a great ni'mah, a great blessing from Allah. And now we are here trying to gain some Islamic knowledge. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward each and every one of you. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather all of us like we are gathered here, but in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. Today, the topic that I have chosen to speak about is, where's the love? And some of you may wonder what this topic is about, because it's a very generic topic. Is it about, you know, love between husband and wife? Is it about brotherhood? Is it about unity? You know, is it about love amongst our society? What is it about? Subhanallah, I chose this topic because we are now living in a society where it's all about me. It's all about me. The focus is on the individual self. And the focus of the community is gone. Unfortunately, I want to become rich. I want to become wealthy. I want to become a millionaire. I want to have a beautiful house. I want to have a nice car to drive. I want to have the most beautiful wife, beautiful spouse. It's all about me. And that love for your brother, that love for your sister, that love for the community is slowly sliding away because of that focus. It's all about me. And when we look at that, subhanAllah, when we start to focus on the individual self, you will start to realize that that is the cause of the downfall of the Muslims today. Because when you look at when Islam was, or the Muslims were strong, they were the rulers of the world, it was because they looked after each other. They had that love, they had that strength, they had that unity, they had that brotherhood. And because of looking after each other, no one could defeat the Muslims. Nobody. If you look around the world today, unfortunately, the sad reality is that a lot of our Muslim brothers and sisters are suffering. They're going through a lot of trials, a lot of issues, a lot of problems, death, killing, war. And sometimes we may ask the question, why is this happening? The answers could be, well, it's the enemy's fault. They are doing this to us. And yes, of course, I mean, the enemy is doing things to us. But is that the only issue? Is that the only problem? Have we ever seen ourselves, our heart? Can we do something to change ourselves before we look elsewhere? Before we look at our enemy? You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said that He will not change the situation of the people until they change what is within themselves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly identified, if you want your situation to become better, then you need to look in your heart. Look into yourself. What can I do to make the situation better? How can I fix myself? Before you point fingers at others, three fingers are pointed back at you. What can I do to fix myself, to make my situation better and the situation of the Muslim Ummah better? You know, when you look at the example of the Battle of Badr, you know, a lot of, subhanAllah, you learn so many lessons from this battle. In the Battle of Badr, how many Muslims fought in that battle? Who can help me? 313. And were they soldiers? Not all of them were soldiers. Some of them have never fought before. And they were versing the mushrikun of Mecca that were 1,000 strong. They were from the army. They fought battles. If you ask anybody, 313, who hardly has any experience, versing 1,000 strong, you will logically think, these guys, the 313, have no chance. But what made the Muslims victorious? It was their faith in Allah. It was the love of Allah and His Messenger. It was a love for each other. That brotherhood, that sincere faith, that unity. No one could break them. And they were victorious because of that. But what happened in the Battle of Uhud? In the Battle of Uhud, the Muslims, we know, were winning. They were winning the battle. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam chose 50 archers to be on a hill. And the Prophet told them, commanded them, do not leave this hill. Even if you see birds eating from our flesh, do not leave that until we give you the signal, until we give you the order. But you see what happened to those archers, the majority of them. Rather than the thought of the community, the Muslims who needed them there, they started to think of themselves. What happened? They saw the beauty of war. They saw everything on the ground. And some of the Muslims were picking that up. So these archers, they said, hey, we're part of them. We also did something. So we want to go and pick up our prize. They started to think of themselves. They forgot their brothers. And because of that, majority of them left the hill. And we know what happened with Khalid ibn Walid coming around that hill, sandwiching the Muslims. And so many of the Sahabas passed away in that battle. One tiny mistake, because of a selfish reason, which Allah Ta'ala forgave them. They asked for forgiveness, Allah forgave them. Mistakes happen. But for that reason, they were defeated. So you see how it all works. If you have that strength, that unity, that brotherhood, that love, nothing will be able to shake us. And recently, I've gone through I've been dealing with a lot of issues within the community, where a few brothers have come up to me, they've told me some of their issues they're going through. Married couples have come up to me and told me their issues, which is normal, it happens. But have you noticed it's on the rise? Divorce is on the rise. Blood relatives are breaking apart more often these days. It's happening, subhanAllah. I'm going to give you some examples of that. One example is, there were two brothers. And their father was a very rich businessman. He had a business. And the father wanted his sons to take over the business, both of them. The younger one, he had other ideas. He had other desires in terms of business and work. And he told his father that I want to do something else. He had other interests. So his father said, no problem, you can do that. That's not an issue. The older brother, he took over the business. And the older brother became very successful. He actually turned the business into more of a profit-making business, where he made more money for the company and for himself. So much so that within a few years, he was able to earn enough for himself. And these were youngsters in their 20s. He was able to earn enough for himself that he bought himself a beautiful house. And he bought a beautiful car. Whereas his younger brother, he went on his own way and he wasn't as successful. He didn't have a beautiful car he was renting, or a beautiful house he was renting, and he had an ordinary car. So the younger brother felt a bit jealous, felt a bit of a hatred against his brother. You know, he's so successful and I'm not. So what did the younger brother start to do? The younger brother started contacting the clients of his older brother and started to badmouth his older brother to the clients. So much so that those clients pulled away. Now the older brother found out about it. Now imagine what's going to happen. Anger, hatred, animosity, jealousy from the younger brother. So much so that it's been 10 years now and they don't talk to each other. Blood brothers, they don't talk to each other. And they forget the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, لا يدخل الجنة قاطع الرحيم. He will not enter paradise, the one who breaks the ties of kinship. We forget these hadith in the ayat of the Quran when it comes to our heart. Another example that was mentioned by a sheikh, where there was a woman, she invited her neighbor over for a meal, maybe for dinner. And the neighbor came over, they had a nice meal, they talked to each other, they laughed a bit, they had a conversation, then the neighbor left. That night, that woman was speaking to her husband about her neighbor. And she was backbiting about her neighbor. She was saying, man, this lady is such a two-faced person. Little did she know, her daughter was listening. So the next time the neighbor came over, the daughter was staring at her face, looking at her, young girl, looking at the neighbor's face. So the neighbor asked, you know, well, how come you're looking at me like that? So she said, oh, my mom said you have two faces. I'm trying to see where you have two faces. I can't see it. And that moment was the moment where neighbors fell apart. Neighbors. And we know the status of neighbors in Islam. Another example, where I was giving a talk on marriage. And after that talk, a sister came to ask me a question. She didn't want to ask in front of everybody. She thought maybe other people know her. So she came up to me later to ask me a question. She said, look, I've been married for 2 years and I'm having a very hard time. So I said, what's the issue? She said that I live with my in-laws. I live with my husband and we live with my in-laws. And my mother-in-law treats me worse than you would treat an animal. She treats me like a slave. And she said that my husband is always on the side of his mother. He never listens to me. He never hears my cry. And I'm not asking for a lot. I'm just asking for some of my rights. But the husband is not listening. And subhanAllah, I tried to give her some Islamic advice. But then I said that the best person to give advice to is your husband and your mother-in-law, who are not here, unfortunately. But I gave her some advice. You know, 2 years later, she emailed me and she said, unfortunately, we got a divorce. It didn't work out. So just because of a little ego, just because of a little hatred, a little jealousy, you see, the mothers, they find it very hard, or parents, they find it very difficult to let go of their children. Especially mothers to their sons. Very difficult. When they see another woman in the life of their child, of their son, cooking for him maybe, doing things for him, a mother gets a bit jealous. And that jealousy could break that marriage apart, which in this case it happened. Another example of racism. A sheikh that I know, and this happened in another country, so you don't have to think or guess which sheikh it was. But subhanAllah, a sheikh that I know, he had a brilliant idea of da'wah. A brilliant idea. And he decided to go to the Mashaykhs, that organization they had in the country. And he proposed, you know, his da'wah and how he wanted to run this. And he wanted, you know, their support because they were the leaders. So the Mashaykhs, they heard this. Now all of those Mashaykhs who heard this, they were from a certain race. And the Shaykh who's proposing this da'wah form was from another race. And by Allah, these Shaykhs, they sat together, these Mashaykhs sat together, and they said, look, it's a great idea, but we can't give him the lead because he's from that race. What are the people going to think?
These are the Imams.
They are supposed to be our leaders. If they can't fix themselves, then who are we? How can we fix the Ummah? How can we fix ourselves? That's a form of racism that is happening within the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where is that love? If we can't fix these issues, these small petty issues, but in the sight of Allah they're huge, then how can we gain victory? How can we run the world? These are some of the things that we need to think about. So how can we bring that love back? How can we strengthen our love, our unity, our brotherhood? Inshallah, I'll go through the ayats of Surah Al-Hujarat. Because in Surah Al-Hujarat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the problem and the solution. What are some of the problems that happen in the society? And what are its solutions? Allah ta'ala beautifully lays it down for us. We just need to read, understand and apply. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said in Surah Al-Hujarat, verse number 10, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, the believers, indeed the believers, are nothing but brothers. They're nothing else but brothers. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. So try to make amends between brothers. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, and have taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that you may receive mercy of Allah. The Sahabas understood this verse so well. They understood the meaning of brotherhood. And one of the greatest examples to give about this verse is the story of Abdurrahman ibn Auf and Sa'd ibn Rabi'ah. We know when the Prophet ﷺ, with the Muhajirun, when they migrated from Mecca to Medina, they left everything behind. Some of them left their family behind. Some of them left all of their wealth behind. They left everything behind. So when they migrated, they had nothing. So the Prophet ﷺ, one of the first things he did, he established a masjid. Then he established brotherhood. He made it such where he asked a brother, a Sahaba, from Medina to be the brother of someone from Mecca. Now back then it would have been a different country, right? Now we call a different city. So a brother from one city to become the brother of the other city. Look after each other. Now what did Sa'd ibn Rabi'ah, what did he do? This is amazing. He calls Abdurrahman ibn Auf and he said to him, brother, this is my wealth. This house that you can see, the money that I have, this is what I have. And he said, I will give you half of my wealth. You may take half. I want you to think about this for a moment. Imagine all of your assets, your car, your house, the money that you have, the money in your bank. Let's say all up it's $1 million. Imagine if you are put in this situation. Try to think, would you give up $500,000 to someone? Very difficult. It's very, very difficult. It's even difficult to give 100,000 away. Because you start thinking, what can I do with that 100? I can probably buy another house. I'll put a deposit on this. I'll put a deposit on that. You start thinking about you, yourself. And we forget about others around us. But Sa'd ibn Rabi'ah didn't hesitate. This is half of my wealth. This is my wealth. You may take half. And not only that, he said, I have two wives. And you may pick one of them. And of course, with the permission, I will divorce her and marry her to you. He was willing to share his family. You can't do that. Very difficult. But he was willing to do that. Because he understood brotherhood. They just became Muslim, but they understood what the Prophet meant about ukhuwah. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, he said, Jazakallahu khair. May Allah reward you. May Allah bless your wealth and your family. All I want from you is tell me where the marketplace is. And inshallah, I will make my own money. And we know Abdul Rahman ibn Auf was one of the wealthiest sahabas. Subhanallah. But that's brotherhood. Not only that, let's look at another story. This is amazing. In the Battle of Yarmouk, which was against the Romans, there were three men. They were dying. They were on their deathbed. They were on the ground. They were about to become martyrs. One of them was Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl. And Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl, as we know, he was the enemy of Islam. He fought against the Muslims. But he said that since I fought against the Muslims, and now that he's become a Muslim, I want to fight for the Muslims. So he went into that battle. The other person was Salama ibn Harith ibn Hisham, and the other one was Ayyash. So the cousin of Salama, he was in that war, and he noticed his cousin Salama was on the ground. He was dying. And the cousin of Salama had just a few droplets of water left. That's it, that's all he had. So he saw his cousin and he went up to him to give him water. Now you're thirsty. You've been fighting a very bloody battle. People are dying all around you. Of course you're going to take that water and drink, but Salama saw Ikrimah lying a little further away. And he said to his cousin, Ikrimah is over there. He needs water more than me. Take the water to him. So the cousin of Salama went to Ikrimah. And as Ikrimah was about to take the water, he heard a moaning on the side, a bit far away, and that was Ayyash. He was also dying. Ikrimah said, take the water over there, he needs it more than me. So Salama, or the cousin of Salama, took the water there. And by the time he reached Ayyash, Ayyash radiallahu anhu passed away. So he came back to Ikrimah to give the water to Ikrimah. Ikrimah passed away. And then he went back to his cousin, Salama. Salama passed away. They are dying, yet that love, that brotherhood, at that moment they were thinking about their brother. Subhanallah. Where are we today? How far are we from that love of our brothers? So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةِ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. Fix the issues between the brothers. If there's problems, sort it out. Quickly go be that person to sort it out for the sake of Allah. Some of us are scared. We're like, you know what? We don't want to get to the middle of this. Let's not try to fix it. Otherwise, that guy's going to hate me. And no, if you do it for the sake of Allah, no one's going to hate you. Your intentions are pure. Fix the situation quickly. Because we know the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when brothers, when they don't talk to each other for 3 days or more, and they have this hatred, and they die upon that, then they will enter Jahannam. Fix the situation of the brothers. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. So that you may receive that mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all want the mercy of Allah, don't we? But yet we don't want to fix the situation of ourselves with our brothers. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, O you who have believed. He's talking to the mu'minun, the believers. He said, do not let a group of you get together and mock another group. Nor let a group of women get together and mock another group of women. Because they may be better than you. The one you're putting down may be better in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're getting together and you're teasing them, you're mocking at them, you're putting them down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly identifies it. He tells us, don't do that. You know how sometimes, even in the workplace, at school for children, they get together in groups, they make their own little group amongst their friends, amongst their employees, you know, and they look at another group and they put them down. Now look at what they're doing. They start teasing them, they start putting them down. How do you think that other person feels? We forget that. And we think we're more superior to them. Whereas we forget that they may be more superior in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He continues and says, وَلَنِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُنْ وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, do not defame each other and do not mock each other or call each other by evil nicknames. You know, in another verse, and we know this surah, Surah Humazah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَيْلُ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. We know this surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, woe to those who mock each other through expression. That's the meaning of humaza. And lumaza, mock each other through your words. What do I mean by expression? Now imagine if I'm sitting with a group of my friends and all of a sudden a person walks by that I don't like. Let's say he's a little bit chubby. And I decide to, you know, make my friends laugh. And I look at him, and I look at my friends, and I point, and I say, and I do that expression, that he's fat, he's chubby. I don't say that, I just do that expression. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, woe to those who do that. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَ and then أَلُّمَزَ. You know the meaning of wail? The ulama, they say there's two meanings to this. One, it's the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine being cursed by Allah, we can't imagine it. What's going to happen to us? And another meaning of that is, it is a place of Jahannam. It's a place in Jahannam. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, place in Jahannam to that person, or the curse of Allah be upon that person who mocks others through their expression, through their gesture, and those who mock others through their words. Subhanallah. How many times do we mock others? We forget that love, we break it immediately, and that person feels bad about it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, do not insult them. Do not say any type of nicknames that are bad, that are evil. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he migrated from Mecca to Medina, he was calling upon a sahaba who lived in Medina by a nickname. And he was known for that nickname. You see, in Medina, or amongst the Arabs back then, even today, they had nicknames. And it could have been because people know them, of them having an interest in a certain thing, or, you know, they did something in the past in which that name just stuck. And I'm sure that you have nicknames for your own children as well. Maybe something they did and that name just stuck, right? That happens. So some people had that name. Abu Huraira, for example, he was the father of cats. He had cats all around him, right? Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, you know, he took care of the young camels and he loved it. So they called him Abu Bakr. Right, so people were known for a certain nickname. So the Prophet ﷺ called a companion who lived in Medina by a certain nickname. But one of the Sahabas, he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, Ya Rasulullah, he doesn't really like that nickname. He doesn't like that name. But people call him that. And the Prophet ﷺ immediately stopped. And through that, this verse was revealed. Subhanallah. Do not call each other by evil nicknames. بِئْسَ الْإِسْمُ الْفُسُوقُ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ. How evil it is by calling someone a name that is bad, that is evil, after they have believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me give you an example so that we understand. Our family, your parents, your wife, your children. Try to imagine you're going out with them somewhere, and someone from the road is now insulting your mother for no reason, calling her some evil names, mocking your wife. It's hard to imagine that, right? Mocking your wife in the shopping center. She wore a hijab and he's mocking her. What are you going to do? You're going to sit there and listen to it? No. Some of you may take action. Some of you may retaliate by saying something. Some of you may take matters in your own hand, right? Imagine now mocking the servant of Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, بِئْسَ الْإِسْمُ الْفُسُوقُ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ. How evil it is mocking someone who believed in me, who has iman in me. He is my servant, and you're mocking my servant? You're teasing my servant? Now imagine how Allah Ta'ala will retaliate against the person mocking. So we need to think about these things. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And whoever does not repent, then they are from the ظَالِمُونَ. They are from the wrongdoers. So Allah Ta'ala is giving us a way to turn back. You need to ask forgiveness from Allah. You need to make tawbah to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And again, we have examples of that. One of the greatest examples that we can see is from the story of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari and Bilal ibn Rabah. Now we know Bilal ibn Rabah, he was Abyssinian. He was dark-skinned. And he was a slave. And later on when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he bought him and gave him his freedom, he became, as we know, he was a Muslim. And he is now equal to everyone. All Muslims are equal in the sight of Allah. Now in Medina, these companions, they were waiting for the Prophet to come. They were in the masjid. So Abu Dharr al-Ghifari was speaking, and he gave some comments. He mentioned something from his own opinion. And Bilal ibn Rabah, he spoke as well, sort of against, in a polite manner, sort of against Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. And they were having a discussion. So Abu Dharr got a bit upset. And Abu Dharr, he said, even you, Ya Ibn Sauda, oh you son of a black woman, even you are going against me, even you are saying things against me. Now imagine now, if you were in that position, you may retaliate, you may say something back. But Bilal radiallahu anhu, he got upset, but he didn't retaliate. He went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he complained to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was said to him. The Prophet was so upset. And he called Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. And he said, did you say this? He said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. He said, you still have ignorance in your heart. What's the matter with you? So Abu Dharr al-Ghifari immediately acknowledged his mistake. Immediately. It wasn't like, oh, it's all right, you know, I'll go talk to him after. No. Immediately, he went to the marketplace. Where did Bilal go? He's looking for Bilal. Where did he go? He found Bilal in the marketplace. And he went straight up to Bilal. In front of Bilal, he put his head on the ground. He put his head, his face on the ground. And he told Bilal, he's holding his leg, Ya Bilal, put your feet on my head. Put your feet on my head. Because you are the honored one and I am the lowly one. For I said something which was harmful. You are the honored one, O Bilal. Now what do you think Bilal did? Did he look at the other people? This was in front of people. Did he look at the other people and say, look at him. He's coming back, he's calling back for forgiveness. No. Bilal radiallahu anhu immediately started to cry. Picked up Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, embraced him, hugged him, and forgave him. That's brotherhood. That's love. That's muhabba. Can we do that today? Can we in public go to the person we said something to and ask for forgiveness? Very difficult. Because your honor is at stake, right? Very, very difficult, subhanAllah. But they were fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they knew the meaning of brotherhood. Yes, they made mistakes. We are the children of Adam. We do make mistakes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the children of Adam, they make mistakes. They commit sins. But the best of sinners are those who repent. We need to immediately, when we realize our mistake, immediately go and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask forgiveness to those whom you hurt. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and he says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, O you who believe, avoid suspicion. For indeed some suspicions are sinful. Some suspicions are sinful. And we know in another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالظَّنِّ فَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ أَكْذَبُ الْحَدِيثِ. Beware of suspicion, for suspicion is the worst of false tales. It's the worst. So, in this verse, Allah Ta'ala is telling us, do not spy on each other. Do not have suspicions about each other. You know, Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, that give 70 reasons for your brother for doing something before you put them down. Give 70 excuses to your brother before you find a fault in them. You know, a quick story. Two women, They were invited to a wedding. They went to a wedding and they were good friends, but they haven't seen each other in a while. So one of the ladies saw this woman and she said salam, but the other woman didn't really speak much. Her head was down. The whole wedding, she didn't really speak to anyone. So this other lady, she thought, what did I do? Why isn't she speaking to me? You know, there must be some issue, there must be some problems. But she thought that that lady doesn't want to speak to her. And she goes home and talks to her husband about it, that, oh, I'm not going to talk to her anymore. She's not speaking to me, oh, I'm not going to speak to her anymore. Why am I going to go talk to her now? I'm not going to give her a call. So she started blaming her. Little did she know that that other lady, she was going through a divorce. And now she's going to a wedding and all those memories are coming back to her. You see, things can happen, but you don't realize it. Give excuses to your brother, to your sister, before you fault them. And you shouldn't be able to fault them. There might be some reasons, some underlying issues that you don't know about. SubhanAllah, if we understood this, we would follow it properly. بِإِذْنِ ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. And do not spy on each other. Do not try to go and find faults on someone. You know, when we make a mistake, we commit a sin, and a brother comes and says, Akhi, listen, I noticed that you did this. I'm just letting you know, inshallah, that you know what you did was wrong. You know, I'm only telling you for the sake of Allah. And I don't want you to commit sin, inshallah. So maybe you can stop that and maybe you can do this, inshallah. Right? It's trying to correct you. How do you feel then? What? This guy's trying to correct me? Who does he think he is? I'm going to look at what he does now. Let's find a fault in him. So you start spying on him. You start looking for anything wrong that he does. And one thing you find, there we go. Go to him. Hey, guy, listen. You did this haram, like, what's wrong with you? You shouldn't be doing that. It's haram, you should be doing this. And you feel good about yourself. Your intentions were completely wrong there. You started spying on your brother. You started looking for his faults. When maybe sincerely, he came to you to correct you. And maybe through that, you could have attained paradise. Just maybe you changed your way. And through your brother's help, you could have been admitted into paradise. But your intentions became wrong. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. Do not spy on each other. وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. One of the biggest problems in the society today. And do not backbite about each other. Do not talk about your brother behind their back. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوا. Would you like to eat the flesh of your dead brother? You would hate it. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Have taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, there's a story where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he met a man. And this man was, his name was Ma'iz. Ma'iz came up to him and he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, I committed zina. He's saying it in public. I committed zina. The Prophet looked at him and said, go away. Deal with it, just go away. He came back, he said, Rasulullah, I committed zina. The Prophet telling him, Ma'iz, go away. 5 times. Go away. You ask forgiveness from Allah. Don't come and tell people about it. And then Ma'iz came again, Ya Rasulullah, I committed zina. And the Prophet looked at him. Did you commit zina? Yes, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet asked, do you even know what zina is? He's trying to give him excuses. The Prophet ﷺ is trying to give him excuses so he can leave and you go ask forgiveness from Allah. Don't publicize your sin. What do you understand? He said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. It's what a husband does with his wife. The Prophet ﷺ, he still asked him a few questions just to divert him a little bit. But no. The Prophet asked him, okay, what do you want from this? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I want to be purified. I want to be purified from this sin. So he's publicized it now. People know about it. So the Prophet ﷺ said, do you know what that is? It's a punishment of being stoned to death. He was married and he committed zina. So the punishment is being stoned to death. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm happy to take that. I want to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So because he publicized it, the Prophet ﷺ had to order him to be stoned to death. So he was placed into a position, and then the Sahabas started to stone him. And it was such excruciating pain that he started to run away. And the other Sahabas had to grab him and put him back, because that's the punishment now, until he passed away. Now the Prophet ﷺ was walking after a while, after maybe a few months or a few years, he was going on a journey, or he was walking somewhere with other companions with him. And behind him you heard two companions talking to each other. And they were talking about Ma'iz. They said, "Do you remember Ma'iz? How he was, you know, running away when we were stoning him? You know, we were stoning him like a dog." You know, they were speaking like that. The Prophet ﷺ was so angry, so upset. He didn't say anything then. They continued walking, and the Prophet saw on the street there was a dead donkey. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Where are those two men who said such and such about Ma'iz?" So they came. The Prophet ﷺ, he told them, "Go and eat the meat of this dead donkey. Go and eat it." And then the Sahabas, they said, "Ya Rasulullah, forgive us, but can we eat the meat of a dead donkey?" The Prophet ﷺ, he said to them, "What you said about your brother Ma'iz is worse than you eating the flesh of this dead donkey. For indeed Ma'iz is in paradise, swimming in the rivers of paradise." Allah Ta'ala forgave him. If we can't even speak about the dead who may have done something wrong, imagine those who are alive when the heart is still beating and they can ask forgiveness from Allah later on. We forget about these stories and we put so many people down, subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُوبْ فَأُولَيْكَ مُظَالِمُونَ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for he indeed is the one who forgives and he is merciful. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلًا لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, O mankind, we have created you from a male and a female, and have made you into different nations and tribes, different nationalities, different backgrounds, different color, different languages. Why? So that you may recognize each other. You may learn from each other. You may build that relationship with one another. You have something to talk about. And the most honored amongst you in the sight of Allah is the one with the most taqwa. It doesn't matter what background you're from, no. Bilal radiallahu anhu, a great example. A great example. An Abyssinian slave initially. He was tortured so much for believing in Allah. Boulders were put on top of him in the scorching sun. His back was being burned by the hot sand. It is stated that if Bilal radiallahu anhu, if he took his shirt off, there were not even a 2-finger span of area on his back that wasn't marked by the torture. You can't imagine it. He was whipped, he was lashed, he was punished for number one being a slave, as he was, and number two, for believing in Allah. But look how Allah Ta'ala elevated his status. He became the Mu'adhin of the Prophet ﷺ. What a status. When they conquered Mecca, when they took control of Mecca, the most holiest place, the Kaaba, the most holiest place where we face and we pray to, the Prophet ﷺ tells Bilal, "Ya Bilal, climb the Kaaba and give the Adhan." Can you imagine that honor? A man who was an Abyssinian slave, a man who was dark skinned, Allah Ta'ala gave him that honor. So much so, the Prophet ﷺ heard his footsteps in paradise, went up to Bilal, "Ya Bilal, what is it that you're doing that I heard your footsteps in paradise?" He was so humble about it. He said, he could have said, "Ya Allah, I'm your Mu'adhin. Ya, or the Prophet ﷺ, I'm your Mu'adhin." But no, he said, "I can't think of anything different that I'm doing." But he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I make wudu, and after wudu, I pray 2 rak'ah sunnah." The Prophet ﷺ said, "That's it. That's the reason why I heard your footsteps in paradise." Look at how Allah Ta'ala elevated his status. Salman al-Farisi, a Persian man, from Persia. They used to look down upon the Persians because of what they used to worship. He came, became a Sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ. And we all know his journey. That's another lecture on its own. He came to the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ took his advice for a battle. Imagine that. An entire battle, and he took the advice of Salman al-Farisi. He could have, I mean, people could have said, you know, you're from this country, who are you? You know, you used to do this. No. The Prophet ﷺ, he understood what it means to be a Muslim. The Sahabas understood what it means to be a Muslim. And he took his advice. So the Prophet ﷺ, the companions, these great human beings, they understood love with one another. This muhabba, this unity. I would like to end the talk by giving you an example of two people. And I want you to think about this for a moment. One of them was a sinful person. Such a sinful person. One narration, a woman, another narration was a story of a man. But a sinful person. So much so that everyone would think this person is going to Jahannam. But he or she saw a thirsty dog and decided to give the dog something to drink, water to drink. You know, he had something in his heart, gave the dog something to drink from the well. That action that he did pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that this person was forgiven and admitted into paradise. The other woman, the other person, the story of another woman who had cats. We know this story. She didn't feed them. At times she used to torture these cats. And because of that, those cats died. And because of this action, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so angry over that. That she was sinful because of it and will be admitted into Jahannam. These are animals. The point of this story is these are animals. They had this, the first story, they had this love to see this dog who was thirsty, to give it something to drink. And the dog, who some of the companions, some of this, the ulama, they say the dog is najas. The entire dog is najas. Whereas some other ulama, they say the wulugh, the saliva of the dog is najas. So you wouldn't even think of helping a dog. But this person helped the dog. And Allah Ta'ala forgave him. And he was admitted into paradise. And the cat story. Where are we with human beings? We can't even look after our own brothers and sisters. We can't, if someone is suffering, that's their problem. I'm looking after myself. So now the question is, if we want to change the situation of our ummah, there's so many distractions, brothers and sisters. Our youth are going through so many distractions. You know, it's all about me. How can I get rich? How can I get famous? You know, everything on social media, it's all me, me, me. I'm famous, like my, you know, like me, like my page. Subscribe to me. It's all about me. And we forget the community. Just here in Sydney, our Muslim brothers and sisters, you know, we're not getting along. There's fights over little issues, subhanAllah. So bi-idhnillah, if we learn from these stories of the companions, the verses from the Quran, and we try to fix what is within ourselves, if you have issues and problems with your family members, with your friends, with your brothers at work, with anyone else in your society, fix that. Fix that. And you will see how Allah Ta'ala fixes the situation of the ummah. We ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to forgive us. We ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to make us understand the importance of love, of muhabba. We ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to make us understand ukhuwa, brotherhood. And we ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to join us together in this world and the akhirah. We ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to give victory to the Muslims. We ask Allah to ease the suffering of the Muslims all around the world. You know, in many, many places around the world, the Muslims are suffering. We ask Allah to ease their suffering. And we ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to gather all of us like we are gathered here, but in Jannatul Firdaus. Wa jazakumullah khair. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.